mentioned yesterday. The long line that we had yesterday was not, we had full staffing in place. It was that we had two machines down. And then we got a third machine up, and then by 7:30 a.m. we had no line. So, you know, it's unfortunate. And, you know, of course, from this position, I wish we took a photo every morning, you know, because the next 31 mornings when we have no line, you know, we won't take a photo of that. We'll just take a photo of the line, which is part of the gig.
So this is Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday in the press conference, I think referring to me, which is fine, perfectly fine, because we had posted that photo that was sent to me by a listener of the long line at the airport for TSA the other day, and that kind of blew up on social media and had a lot of comments about that. I talked with him and Matt Coughlin about, you know, what was going on, and, you know, I think there's a large combination of factors, frankly, going on. But, of course, it comes at a time where people are already frustrated about the lines at the airport, and they're working on that stuff. But let me kind of answer the question that D.C. Reeves was posing yesterday. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And so my answer is I totally agree with you. One picture does not show a whole story. The pictures of every day and how a half hour later it was cleared up. I completely agree with you. My industry makes the mistake of showing you the exception instead of showing you the general truth. And I think it's a completely fair criticism. So I'll take it.
Well, you know, as back in the day, it used to be my industry too. And so
right.
I understand that. And of course, in no way is it rationalized. I think we're showing, you know, I think that it was time to take a stand because it was becoming such that what the photo you showed was becoming too consistent of an issue.
Yeah.
In previous months. But what I will say is since we've sent that letter, I believe the maximum wait yesterday was 51 minutes. If you've analyzed, which they do with TSA, every single hour since basically the end of April, the longest wait, including during Memorial Day weekend and even more of a peak season than spring, was about 23 or 25 minutes. So it's, you know, that's kind of the point I'm making, is to say, hey, you know, we've made significant strides, but of course, and what do, you know, citizens and social media do? Here's the one example.
That's right.
You know, the one out of hundreds of hours since we've gotten things corrected that didn't go the way it planned. But that's why I said, hey, it's part of the gig. You know, I get it, whether it's parking, whether it's this, whether it's something like that, it's things that cause people anxiety, and I understand. You know, we all want it to be perfect all the time, and nobody more than me and Matt at the airport, I can guarantee.
And, you know, I know it doesn't make people necessarily feel better, but one of the things that I had minor epiphany about, I was thinking about this, is as long as you don't miss your flight, then waiting at TSA
right.
is a nuisance, not a problem. Now, you even mentioned that you have missed flights or people have missed flights, and so that is a real problem. But I think of it in the same context as, like, flooding in your home. If the flooding gets into your lawn, you know, and on your driveway, that's a nuisance. That's inconvenient. When the flooding gets into your
right.
house,
right.
it's a real problem. And, I mean, if you have to wait an extra 20 minutes at the TSA line, you're fuming and you're angry. But if you think about it, you're either going to wait there or wait for the plane. It doesn't really make
right.
that big of a difference, right? But if you miss the flight, then
exactly.
it does make a
yeah.
big difference. How often does that happen?
Yeah, and again, I mean, TSA is required. So this isn't, you know, DC's guess or the airport's guess is required to measure how long these. And so just for example, remember from my letter, we were on the wait list four times in the first, whatever that was, 3.5 months of the year, on a much slower part of the year mm-hmm. Than right now. And since we sent that letter, we've been on once, which was yesterday for that hour. So,
yeah.
So we're making good strides. They continue to be, TSA continues to be proactive. So what I would tell you is if you were to analyze the hour by hour wait, which again, at worst has been in the 25 minute range. And if you're following TSA guidelines and you're there 2 hours early, and I know some of us aren't, I admit I'm not always there 2 hours early. But if you are, even 51 minutes yesterday would have been a non-issue. So to your point, you know, and so when you get over an hour where we've had that before in previous iterations a couple times, obviously now you're starting to talk about having the expectation to catch a flight and not being able to do it because the line was too long. So,
right.
So again, bottom line is we're making progress on it. You know, obviously we had a difficult day yesterday with two machines going down. And, you know, actually, as a matter of fact, we even learned this morning to show you how finicky these things are that may not have anything to do with the mayor or the airport is. I think we had a machine go down temporarily this morning because a crew member spilled coffee in the machine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, those are the challenges of which we deal with every day, and that's why I appreciate our airport staff doing the best job that they can.
Yeah, and when you get an error code on the machine, I was talking to Matt Coughlin about this, the airport director, when you get an error code on the machine, I mean, you got to go through a whole series of steps and checks and make sure the machine's working right because you can't just use it when it's not right. And then if you got to have repair people come and take care of it or reboot or whatever, I mean, there's processes. And so if you get unlucky, even if you've got the personnel, like you had the personnel on Monday, but then the machines are suddenly weird. Oh, great.
Right.
You know, so anyway, I wanted to answer your kind of prod about the, you know, the whole truth rather than just some of the truth. And also that whole perspective shift that I had a little bit about, you know, it's only a nuisance if you still make the plane. It's just stress, and nobody likes that. Yesterday, sure, big positive day for Pensacola, the ribbon cutting for the new IHMC facility. We've been talking about that. I was making the point that I think this is an indicator of the overall improvement and renaissance of downtown Pensacola, that it is now becoming, for many years now, it has been becoming, but it really is a place that people want to, you know, live, work, and play. You added walk into that yesterday. I caught that. I thought that was cute. But I did get a challenge from a listener on this subject. The person texted me the following, and I want to hear what you have to say about this. With the coffee shops and the bars and the restaurants and the culture and the nightlife and the baseball, I mean, there's a lot of stuff downtown. But this person says, the problem with Pensacola right now is haven't pursued an urban grocery store like a Walmart or a Whole Foods to be located downtown. Other communities tend to have this. We also don't have the consistent high-end shopping like Macy's, Nordstrom, which will appeal to the higher income, you know, like revamping the mall. It says even Birmingham has better retail. Ask the mayor why the city has not tried to get a Whole Foods or a Trader Joe's or even an IKEA. Cities that do this kind of stuff attract more money, tax money, and better. You know, IKEA might be a little out of our size range, but you get the gist of the question. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll do this quickly for radio form. But ultimately, don't presume that we aren't, is what I would say, first of all. Just because we're having those conversations doesn't mean I come to the press conference and talk about them, because I don't want to get hopes up, and there's a lot of variable factors. Here's the great news.
Can I interrupt you? I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, from Florida West, a lot of times we get the, here's what could happen, and then, you know, one out of 40 deals pans out. I kind of like that, actually, that you don't come through with the, hey, we're working on something, and so we don't get our hopes. And go ahead, though. Finish your answer.
Other than my first April Fool's joke my first year, you're never going to hear me talk about Trader Joe's unless I really feel like it's coming here. That's
I got
my
you.
Point. So, let's talk about, chains in a general sense, whether that's a Warby Parker like Sunglass Store or a Trader Joe's, or what you start to see in Charleston and Savannah and these other, that's what I'm kind of encapsulating that is being referred to here. Number one, don't assume that we aren't having or others. I mean, third parties, private, you know, commercial real estate owners aren't having those conversations, because we know that they are. I cannot not speak to certain brands, but I can say that there's been a change in the last 12 months or so, where we start to be on allowed lists, right? I mean, you have to meet certain metrics. I mean, Whole Foods doesn't just pick a place because the mayor met with them. They're going to run numbers the same way Delta runs numbers at our airport. I mean, it's a numbers game. Well, now we're starting to actually get into the threshold where they would consider us, where that wasn't the case necessarily a couple years ago. So to answer that question, yeah, of course. I mean, we are as proactive as possible. It's something me and Erica and our economic development department are working on. We've had several conversations about that. And, you know, and it's also different areas of town. I mean, listen, you know, the Beulah area up in the Davis I-10 area, depending on what kind of chain it is, that might be more desirable than downtown.
Sure.
And then a different chain would be much more desirable downtown than out there. So there's lots of different factors at play. But what I can safely generalize is that we are now on lists that we used to not be on.
Wow,
you know, and that
okay.
conversations about larger, but really what it's going to take, it's going to take the first one of those kind of national brands that's being mentioned to kind of take that chance, you know, downtown. Because once that happens, and you see it in every city and the evolution of every downtown, then the others are saying, oh, well, if they made it, we can make it, you know. So, you know, that's what we're really trying to be proactive about, is getting that, whether it's a grocery store, whether it's just national retail, you know, kind of see what that looks like. So,
okay. Well, that's a very encouraging answer.
It's not our job to come pick those out, but, yeah, we want to get – it's our job to try to, you know, have the red phone and make sure that that we're an investable city. So we continue to have those conversations.
The red phone. I like that. I just got a text in. We're talking to DC Reeves. I just got a text in. Somebody asks, any update on the possibility of a post office deal working out downtown? I assume that following your previous comment, if you had news to tell, you'd tell it.
Yes, there's no new news. However, I'm in the same position my last update, which is that I've had a conversation with them and that there is a downtown alternate location that is in progress right now. That's
okay.
What I can say.
Okay.
I can't, but what I'm saying is the dream of continuing to have a downtown post office alive? Yes, at this point.
Okay. I also had a text in a little earlier, and it just because this is the stuff people really care about. I thought the lights were on. I guess the lights on the bridge have been maybe not on every night. Maybe you know, and do you know any whys?
No. Again, it was back to testing, to be honest. When
okay.
It turned, that's why right after when we talked last time,
yeah.
He had said, it might be on, might be off. But I know their goal was to get before the week of the 4th of July.
Okay.
I know that was what they were kind of shooting for. So we may not see consistency until then,
gotcha.
But I know we're making progress.
Kareth Fidler suddenly is no longer the city administrator. Mentioned family stuff. This surprised me. Was there a problem? Is it just his personal? You tell me. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I mean, he reached out to me late last week, and again, obviously, I'm not going to get into his, what's going on.
Sure.
That's his story to tell or his news to share or not share. That's, and we don't get into personnel stuff anyway. But regardless, I'm very appreciative of having Kareth there. Family comes first for all of us, and it should. It comes first for me. It comes first for Kareth. And so, at the end of the day, I appreciate having him here 5 years with the city, which is a long time, honestly, within the city administration level at one place. Having him in that position while I was getting acclimated and his familiarity and, the respect that he had with department directors was very, very valuable for me. So I'll always be grateful for that. So I certainly wish him the best and his family the best. And we support him well after his, last day in July.
And you're going to do a national search is what you said?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. We will do a national search. We're obviously just starting that process now and getting job description and all that kind of stuff. And so we'll be very intentional and proactive because obviously it's such a, one of the most vital positions at the city, if not the most.
Yeah, and the kind of position that, if you don't really know who Kareth Fidler is, it means he's probably doing his job right.
right.
You notice when the sound and the lights are wrong because they're not doing their job right, and if you don't notice, they're probably doing their job just right. Any consideration given to, Amy has been around and knows all kinds of stuff, but that's not a track that you're expecting or planning on necessarily. I mean, I'm sure she's welcome to apply, but
Amy does a great job for us. We got a lot of, there might be others that internally that could apply and would certainly be qualified to do so. Too early to say
okay.
on that, but I will say this job being so vital, this being the first time I have made this hire. Certainly I want to understand, what's out there. And I think it takes a level of self-awareness. It's me analyzing myself. What are my strengths and what are my weaknesses? This is really much a yin yang kind of relationship with the city administrator. I want to make sure that as we sit down and take a breath and say, how are we going to move forward? That this person, he or she would be able to, accentuate and help me in places where maybe I'm not as strong and then vice
sure.
versa. So we're even doing a little self-analysis, about what do we want to see out of the next, what skill set, what experience do we want to see from the next person?
And by the way, I did the thing that I always used to make fun of Grover for doing. I said Amy, but I meant Amy Miller, the assistant city administrator. So, I didn't give everybody the context
Amy.
Of who
yeah.
we're talking about here.
We
always
have 50 Amy's.
Yeah, no, that's
in
true.
Our office, so yeah, that's a safe guess.
Amy LaVoie, Amy Tootle. Yeah, no.
Amy.
We didn't even get a chance to really talk about the low barrier shelter, but the 10-second answer on this is: you got the information you wanted to get. You know what the reasonable price and the reasonable ongoing cost is going to be, and now it's a question of actually finding the money and the commitment and sourcing it and talking to the people who are going to put in because it's not as easy as let's just build one. Is that fair?
That's correct. We have $1.3 million of static money, one-time money. And what we've just been told is 60 beds would be about $2 million a year. So this is not going to be solved by just this static money. It's going to be a greater community conversation.
And sure. That's not even, as you said yesterday, not even counting the capital cost of acquiring or constructing a facility. That's
correct.
Just operation. Very good. We always like to end with the lightning round. Fun topics, our frivolous topics typically. Do you have a favorite game show growing up?
Ooh. I liked Press Your Luck.
No whammies. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Is there something you had in high school, which, you know, was not that long ago for you, but is there something you had in high school that you no longer have that you miss, that you wish you had?
I actually loved the Nextel walkie-talkie aspect. I actually think maybe there'd be like a renaissance for that.
The bloop bloop?
Yeah.
The bloop bloop?
I mean, that was hot when I was in high school. You know, that was, if you had that capability.
That was the good stuff.
Yeah, you couldn't
text
or anything, you know, or take
right.
photos, but you could... I don't know, man. I'd like to have that back. It'd be kind of fun.
I've often wondered, you have a beeper now on your phone, essentially, but there was something nice about
right.
the beeper in the sense that, you know, you couldn't have to get back right away and all that. You know, some of those old technologies actually had value in a way of separating us. And the last one for the day, what is your way of cooking corn on the cob, if you do, and what's your way of eating corn on the cob, typewriter style or rotating rings that go down the cob?
I prefer to grill it. I mean, you know, boiling sometimes for necessity, but I'm a religious typewriter corn on the cob eater. It's got to be in order, structured. Yep, exactly. The same way I spread peanut butter across the entire piece of bread.
Gotcha.
Corn is no exception.
Very good. There's people who eat corn on the cob typewriter style, and then there's agents of chaos. I mean, that's all there is. There's two kinds of people in the world. So
I'm generally concerned at a picnic if I see someone just biting all over the entire cob.
I
should be concerned.
We did this the other day, and we got a couple people who suggested that they eat it in splotches just for random effect. And I'm like, I can't even. That might just give me the shudders to think about. DC.
I was going to say, I'm uncomfortable right now. You just described that. I don't know why.
DC Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, so we look forward to city council meeting tomorrow night. As always, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.